much as possible, I have someone else doing that to keep me free to do the writing and the planning.
Since we mentioned your website, why don't you give us the names of some of your websites, the URL addresses?
Well, the two most important I'd like people to know about are gmarketing.com.
Gmarketing.com.
That's the biggest one. And the one that's the most fascinating is called GuerrillaMarketingAssociation.com, spelled G-U-E-R-R. There's two R's, G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A, GuerrillaMarketingAssociation.com. And that describes the most exciting thing we've ever offered. For an author, when he writes a book, my book appears in Barnes & Noble or Borders or Amazon, but there's five things in the book I wish I hadn't said because I didn't know those things at the time I wrote the book. And I also think of five things I didn't put in the book because I didn't know them at the time. They just are recent developments. The Guerrilla Marketing Association enables me to publish information monthly. So to really keep serious small business owners up to speed, they have a coaching forum where they get to ask questions and I get to answer them, or one of 39 or 40 trained guerrilla marketing coaches. And we have a weekly phone call every Wednesday evening, a one-hour call where anybody can ask me any kind of questions. So rather than writing a book, my last book is called Guerrilla Marketing for Free. It came out in September of last year. But now, instead of a book, we are doing the Guerrilla Marketing Association, which lets me relate to the members and give them advice they can act on. Some man last month told us he wrote a book he wants to get to the bestseller list at Barnes & Noble. How should we do it? We gave him suggestions. Last week he told us now he's number one at Barnes & Noble. And then a phone call, an hour phone call, and you can't do that with a book. You can only do that back and forth with people in real time.
Do you record the phone calls?
Yes, you join the GuerrillaMarketingAssociation.com. All the phone calls that we've ever had in our history are published there.
How many of them are there? How many hours?
We started doing the phone calls in April of 2003. Have a phone call for every week from April 2003, and that's a lot of phone calls.
Yeah, and they last about an hour each?
They're an hour each, but people can listen to them and go back and listen to them over and over and over again. The calls are exactly 1 hour.
What kind of service do you use to record the calls? The conference calling service?
Yes, we use a conference service out of Atlanta.
Is it M3?
It's MP3, yes.
Okay. What has been your most successful marketed product? And with that product, was there any one way in which you marketed it that stands out? That's from David Jennings, Melbourne, Australia again.
The second book I wrote was called Secrets of Successful Freelancing. I'll say it again, Secrets of Successful Freelancing. It was 43 pages long, was sold for $10. And I ran ads in the back of lighting magazines and artist magazines and photographer magazines. Every time I would spend $100 in ads, I would get $1,000 in book sales. And so that really worked. But then I found that there was a list of freelancers, a list of 10,000 of them. So I wrote a one-page letter to the, this is before the days of email, to the 10,000 freelancers in the United States. And I offered them the book, a $10 book. I told them if they buy it and don't like it, send it back, and I'll send them their $10 back plus a dollar just for giving it a shot. So what happened is that 33% of the people, 3,330 people, ordered the book.
Wow.
And that was an amazing response rate. So I thought, I may as well now do a mailing to 1 million freelancers. But I found out I had purchased the only list of freelancers that existed.
And these were freelance writers.
Freelance writers, art directors, photographers, accountants. So I just broadened the idea from the word freelancers to anybody, and I wrote a book called Earning Money Without a Job. I identified about 150 ways that people do freelance other than the freelancing methods I just mentioned. That was a breakthrough success because it was at a time in the 70s that people were beginning to consider the idea of small business. Big companies were laying off hundreds of thousands of people at a time. And here I was telling people how easy it is to start your own business. And then, of all things, in response to students, because my books led to me teaching a course at Berkeley, my students asked me to recommend a book on marketing for people with big dreams but limited budgets. And I couldn't find such a book anywhere, so I wrote that book, and I called it Guerrilla Marketing. That book took on a life of its own. So by being responsive to the needs of society, these are the people who were unemployed, and then to the responsible to the needs of my students, these are people with the big dreams but the empty pockets, By responding to those people, I had the biggest success I'd ever had. It's just what you said at the beginning, Michael. I found out what people needed, and then I created a product for those people. I wasn't thinking in terms of making money at all. I was only thinking in terms of giving people what they needed. It wasn't my opinion of what they needed. It was what they said they needed.
What stimulated you to write the freelancing book? What got that rolling?
When I realized that I had been working a year on my own, from my own home, 3 days a week, I realized there was nothing special about me, and anybody could do that. So I wrote a book about it. That's what Secrets of Successful Freelancing was. My nephew said, well, Jay, you wrote that as an instruction manual for yourself. But the truth is, I wrote it, it was about what I was doing. It was exactly 100% about how I was able to pull off working a three-day week and spending a lot of time with my wife and daughter and becoming a better and better skier as the years advanced, because I had so much time on the slopes on weekdays. There were no lift lines. And I think the most successful thing I ever learned was to be responsive to people's needs. And we started our conversation today by you telling me that was your opinion. I also think that it's not a matter of working less, but working more effectively. I don't think I work any less than other people. I just don't waste my time in meetings or reading memos or having unnecessary conversations. I work about as much now as I did when I worked full-time at an advertising agency.
Okay, I've got some more descriptive words. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number 11 is traditional.
I would say 3.
Paste.
C-A-S-E. I would say 4.
Self-assured.
5.
Outgoing.
5.
Modest.
3.
Passive.
1.
By the book.
1.
Authoritative.
4.
Contemplative.
2.
And adaptable.
5.
Okay, great. Here's a question from John Eckloff. What are the 2 best books on any topic that you've read recently other than yours?
Oh, boy. Okay. Al Reis, R-E-I-L-R-I-E-S, wrote a book called Focus. And the book Focus talks about famous corporations that everybody's heard of. And it talks about humiliating the stupid and expensive mistakes that they've made.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who reads his book will feel a whole lot better about themselves when they realize that some of these big companies really got in trouble because of what's called corporate ego, and because they lost their focus and they started diversifying into areas way beyond what they ought to be doing. That's one of the better books I've read on business in a long time. I'm also fascinated with the book Fast Food Nation, which I read last year. Fast Food Nation was a tell-all book about fast food of all kinds in the United States and the differences between the franchises. And John asked for 2 books. I want to add one more because I'm reading everything by John Krakauer. It's True Adventure. After that, I read Iger Dreams, which is about mountain climbing stories that he writes about. Then I read Into the Wild, which he told about an ill-fated expedition a man had into Alaska. Just finished a book called Under the Banner of Heaven, which is sort of a tell-all book about the Mormons. And those are fascinating books by John Krakauer. But I would put Focus and Fast Food Nation as 2 of the best books I've read in a long, long time.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing that. Here's a question. I don't have who it's by, but it says, you have told thousands of individuals personally and in groups what to do and how to do your techniques. And the evidence is overwhelmingly, actually mind-blowing, that your ideas work. How is it so few people follow through and apply these insights to fulfill their ambitions? And what, in your view, are the different stumbling blocks they create for themselves?
Gosh, what brilliant questions. The people who find stumbling blocks, the people who don't consider this idea, that the ideas I write about, are the people who would give a 5 when you would say the word tradition. They are bound by the tradition of their parents and their grandparents, and they think that life is supposed to be a 9-to-5 job. And they think life characterized by having too much month left over at the end of the money, and characterized by the concept of a job. They don't look beyond that idea. They say that if you were to put 10 tunnels down and hide a piece of cheese at the end of one of the tunnels and put a mouse at the end of the other end, the mouse will find the cheese. And then if you move the cheese, the mouse will...